You probably know the singer and songwriter from the Czech Republic, Markéta Urglová, from her work with Glenn Hansard in The Swell Season and in the film Once, for which she and Glenn won the 2008 Oscar for Best Song. The two initially met in the Czech Republic when Glenn heard a 13-year-old Markéta singing a Frames song. That's his band. Last October, Markéta released her solo debut album, Anar, which is the word for pomegranate in Farsi. A painting of the fruit is on the cover of the album, and I began by asking Markéta about the title.
Well, the pomegranate itself, after I moved to New York about a year and a half ago, was this kind of symbol of... I walked this walk in Spain once, which is called Santiago de Compostela, which is a pilgrimage from one end of of Spain to the other, to this town called Santiago, where apparently a body of a saint was washed up on the shore. And the whole point of this pilgrimage is you can either do it to meditate on your life, or you can do it for religious reasons. It doesn't matter. But the symbol of that path is a shell, and the path goes through the countryside. You know, oftentimes you wonder, am I still on the right path? And then if you see a shell, whether it's on a tree or in the pavement or in the road, you're at peace, because you know, okay, I'm still on the right track. And in my life, there are things like that come in and out, you know, different symbols, sometimes numbers or words that I keep overhearing in conversations that if they happen three or more times, I usually pay attention and I take it as a sign of something, you know. And after my move to New York, pomegranate was that symbol. I kept seeing it everywhere. And before that, I had not been familiar with this fruit. And a month after I moved, I met Aida Shagasemi, my friend who's now playing in my band, and I met some other Iranian people who I very quickly became friends with, and I started discovering, you know, Iranian culture and cuisine, and just became pulled into it. And pomegranate is a very, like, it's kind of an Iranian fruit, you know, people love it over there and it grows there and in that part of the world. And I walked into the gallery where I met Aida and on a separate occasion, and there was an exhibition of this artist, Nahid Hagigad, which is the painter of that painting. And I was attracted to it for the aesthetic of it. You know, I love gold leaf combined with vivid colors. And the fact that it was a pomegranate was just another sign of, okay, pay attention, you know. And so I had purchased the painting and later asked her if I could use it. And to me, it symbolizes, I looked into the meaning of the fruit itself, because as it turns out, it's a very symbolic fruit. In actually all the religions around the world, it was possibly the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. And apparently it was engraved in the pillars that held the Temple of Solomon in Israel. And so it's a very powerful symbol, and it's a kind of a symbol of fertility, also feminine energy. And to me, it was also symbolizing somehow, you know, the new culture that I was discovering at the time. So it just summonized everything together so brilliantly.
It's so amazing all the things that come together. You're from Czechoslovakia. You come to New York City. You meet Aida, who is from Iran, and it all kind of ties together. I guess New York is one of the few places you could actually do all that in one spot. How did you end up coming to New York?
Well, even that is kind of... I was living in Ireland I had been living there for 3 years at that time, and thought that I would be living there for a very long time after that, because Ireland was holding this gravity to me. I really loved it. And then one morning I woke up and I just had the sense of... that I had to move. I don't know whether you ever seen that film Chocolat with Juliette Binoche, but you know, they always camp out in some town, and they live there for a little bit, and then the spirit of her mother tells her it's time to go and kind of move to another place. And that's kind of how I felt, like something out of the blue. I had this feeling of I had to move, and then I searched my heart of, okay, where is it that I'm supposed to move to? And New York popped into my head, which was unusual, because I had never thought about living in New York in all the times that I'd passed through it. And at the same time, I you know, I tend to trust my instinct a lot. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I've got a year off. I might as well spend it in New York. And if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to Ireland. And I moved and everything was falling into place really smoothly. I was able to find an apartment really quickly and a beautiful one. And within a month, I met Ida. So I believe that we had, Ida and I had an appointment in New York set up and our spirits just guided us toward it.
And all this was created last winter, I guess. The album you ended up recording it. Well, this is a wonderful story. Why don't we hear some of the songs? What would you like to begin with?
This is a song called We Are Good. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Heather Glova is our guest today, and that is We Are Good, one of the songs from Anar, her solo debut. And Mar, who's playing with you today? Because it sounds great.
As I already mentioned, my friend Aida Shagasemi on vocals and daf, which is a Kurdish frame drum. And then Tim Eisler on bass guitar, who engineered the record with me, or for me, and produced it with me. And Rob Bocknig from Chicago, who is also in the solo season in the frames.
You know, I was wondering, maybe I could play a little bit of daf for us just separately so people can hear it. Because it's interesting. It's kind of shaped like a...
Baron?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And yet it has a completely different sound.
Yeah, Baron is the Irish drum, and it's played... it's also a circular wooden frame, and originally a goatskin stretched over it, but nowadays synthetical material. And daf is played with a stick. Whereas this Persian drum is played with hands, and it has an addition of these metal rings on the edge of inside, where if you move the drum, it kind of they rub against the skin and it makes a shaking sound. So yes, absolutely, Ido, would you play a little bit?
That's really nice. It's really interesting to hear how the bells kind of act like a snare in some ways, laying against the skin and stuff. It's really very cool.
Sure, yeah, I agree with you. When I heard it for the first time, I was very impressed, and that's why I really wanted Ida to play with me, because I find it very powerful. Since I think they say that rhythm, rhythm is ancient, you know, like that's kind of what we hear when we're in the womb, is kind of like sounds like that. And also it goes back to, you know, original tribes of each nation. So when we hear drums, it really strikes a chord with us that's kind of very, very ancient. So having an instrument like that in my band, it's really exciting for me.
Oh, and you can really hear it on the record. It seems very central to what you did with the record. So when you approach this, making it's your solo debut, kind of being, you know, the sole front person in this band, did you have any trepidation about it? What did you think?
If I could have had a fear about it, but if I did, it would only be a fear of failing somehow, you know, or of disappointing myself or the people who would want to hear it. And that's not really what I enter into a project with, you know. Like my goal is always, I know that there's no way you can ever please everybody, and so you might as well just please yourself, you know. So when you go in to create something, I feel that as long as you're making it from a sincere place within you and following your heart within each turn of the project, you can't really go wrong, you know. And then it doesn't matter if you face bad criticism or anything. As long as you can stand by it and say, I'm proud of this, I believe in this, then there's nothing to fear. And so I was going into it with real excitement, actually, because it was a very joyful process for me, and I had my friends being part of it, so that was important.
Maketa, I'm listening to you play piano, and I'm just wondering what you started out playing in the Czech Republic.
I started as I expressed interest in music from a very small age. You know, I used to sing along to stuff a lot, and so my parents decided that they were going to encourage that in me, and went and inquired in a music school in my hometown about initially taking guitar lessons, because my dad, you know, there's this tradition about sitting around a fire and playing folk songs in Czech Republic, and my dad was like, she should play guitar. And so they went and inquired, and they didn't have a classical guitar player in the school at the time. So my mom's wish was for me to play piano, because that's what she wanted to play when she was little and never got around to it, because her parents didn't have the money to buy the instrument. And so we inquired about a piano lessons instead. And at this point, my parents had bought me like a keyboard, electric keyboard. And we went and met the teacher who was supposed to teach me. And she said, well, what kind of a piano do you have? And my parents said, oh, you know, the electric kind. And she was like, oh, no, this won't do. you have to get her a real piano. So they did. And I've had a real one ever since.
Which, wow.
Yeah. I played classical music for many years. And it wasn't until I met Glenn years after that I was even introduced to the idea of, you know, improvising and writing my own songs. I just hadn't thought about it up to that point. So that kind of changed my whole way of looking and playing music.
Yeah, but that technique from the early, you definitely shows through, you know.
Right. Yeah, I guess. I definitely love classical music, and I used to sing in a choir as well. And so I feel that my classical upbringing seeps into the music for sure. And I like it, you know, I do.
Marketa Erglova is our guest, and we're hearing the music from Anar. And what's next?
Next, we're going to play a song called For Old Time's Sake. Thank you.
For Old Time's Sake, one of the kindest breakup songs I've ever heard.
Thank you. I guess that is what I was aiming for.
Well, you did well. You did
Thank
well.
You.
People, of course, they know you from once, but they know you from your speech at the Academy Awards for winning the Oscar for Falling Slowly. It's interesting that now that is now that it's going to become a Broadway production. Usually these things go the other way. It's a Broadway play, and then there's a movie. Have you been involved with that at all?
No, I have not. I have been, initially I was asked, both Glenn and I were asked if we were okay with it, of course, and both of us said absolutely. And as much as I had never really thought about it before it was brought up as a thing that was suitable for a theatrical version, because theatrical version of things are usually kind of, very blown out of proportion a little bit. Everything is
yeah
very,
it's a pretty intimate movie,
right. It's a very simple, low budget movie that I was kind of finding it difficult to picture what they were gonna, if they were, what were they gonna dance to, for example. And at the same time, that was all the more exciting for me, because the fact that I couldn't picture it meant that my curiosity was totally engaged, and I was excited to see what they would make of it. And also it's a huge honor, for you to make something and send it into the world and somebody else to notice it and pick it up and make it their own. That's the great thing about art, and sending it out there into the world. So I've been really excited, and I went to see it about just before I went on this tour. I went and saw it, a rehearsal of it in New York. And I was really, really pleasantly surprised. I thought the guys did a great job. I think Enda Walsh is a great screenwriter, and the musical director and the play director are great, and the actors are great. And, the actors are also the musicians, which makes it real and down to earth. It still has the sense of simplicity. And I think that that's great that they saw that that's important to maintain. The actors are the ones who are moving the props around the stage. It's very, very simple and tastefully done, I think.
So there are no choruses of dancing buskers or anything?
No.
And the time off for the swell season is ending up? You're going to start working again? Or?
It's totally up to Glenn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you will.
No, it's Glenn is actually making some recordings in New York at the moment. And I'm sure that sooner or later we're all going to get into the studio again and make a swell season record. It's just... But I don't know when the right time is.
Well, who knows? You may make another one of your own records before then. So
sure, who knows?
We will see. Marketa Erglova is our guest, and we are hearing music from Anar, her solo debut. And what's up next?
Next is a song called Go Back. This one was kind of inspired by listening to a lot of soul music, so it has a little bit of touch of that at the end. And it's what I like about soul music, and in particular Otis Redding and Aretha Franklin, is just a sense of empowerment, self-empowerment of not really victimizing yourself, but knowing that you hold the power to rise above your circumstances, that no matter what the circumstances are, you can still decide what you're going to be within them. So... that's what I was kind of aiming for within this song.
To know the pain of too much tenderness, I would give myself to thee. But just to clarify my keeping distance, I confess that I know too well you're not to be with me. But when from across the room you held my gaze,
That song is called Go Back, a live performance today. And our thanks to Marketa Erglover for joining us. She has a new album called Anar.